the winners, the losers, and all the best college football moments this weekend.
Welcome back to college football.
Did you see it?
They found themselves a pot of gold at the end of the Rogers rainbow.
Can you feel it? Do you believe now?
You believe that?
Hold on.
Do you believe that?
With the Killer Bees.
What do you believe now after the college football weekend? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Bunch of texters are saying the D'Amico challenge to keep Stephon Diggs happy, that he knew it was going to be short of the line to gain, but they're just trying to keep a smile on Stephon Diggs'
sure it was
face.
Of the line of game.
I thought it was short, barely, but I thought the spot was a yard wrong. But I didn't know the line of gain rule.
I was waiting for the one definitive angle to tell me, because I thought it was going to be close enough to, like, within a half a football to where I thought they might go for it, and I thought that they could get it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, from an NFL standpoint, I also kept screaming at the TV, you need a better camera angle.
Yeah, but the whole, we missed the spot, but it's short of the line of gain, so that means you lose the challenge was weird. And then some people were critical of D'Amico for kicking the field goal. Like, why challenge if you're going to kick the field goal?
I think that it still wasn't close enough for him to feel comfortable that it was a gimme to go for it. He knew how hot Fairbairn was, and he felt good about it.
Yeah, I mean, I actually get that side of it, though. Like, you're not going to challenge for a yard and then kick the field goal. But I think he thought he had the first down, too. All right, what do you believe after the college football weekend? 713-780-3776. Blankers, what you got?
The first one I believe is Michigan's not going to be a top 25 team for much longer. I don't care if they're switching quarterbacks now or not. I thought that they were bad when they played Texas. I thought they were worse the week before when I saw them play Fresno State. And I think that you want to talk about how quickly the mighty have fallen. They're not a top 25 team, I don't think, within the next... I think they fall out of the top 25 for the rest of the season in the next 2 weeks.
You don't think AORG is going to save their season?
No, I don't. I think that they're awful. And I don't know whether Harbaugh left or not. The fact that you couldn't come up with and Blake Corum left, all these guys, they should have been replaced. You should have had 5 stars coming in from all over the place. I get it. There was a little uncertainty because Harbaugh was leaving. Your OC was taking over. I mean, you knew that there was enough there. You should have been able to get a quarterback, a running back. Their defense is decent. Their offense sucks. And they're going nowhere fast. They're a bad football team.
Why don't you believe in Orgy?
Sorry?
You don't think AORG is going to save their season?
See what you did there now. I was a little shocked that it was coming out of your mouth otherwise.
Alex Orgy, he's going to be the quarterback. They named him the quarterback this weekend.
No, I think that they're in a world of hurt, and they better have a hell of a recruiting season starting now. They better start recruiting now.
You don't think they are recruiting?
I mean, but they better recruit hard for skill positions because their offense is awful.
I can promise you they're recruiting.
I get it.
They might not be recruiting well.
Right, that's what I mean. They better recruit well.
Yeah. I think they're going to be looking for a new coach in the next 2 years.
I certainly do, too.
Yeah, I don't think Harbaugh left them in the best of spots. There's some scandal there. I think they'll be looking for a new coach in the next couple of years. I think that's a good one. First thing that I believe coming off this college football weekend, Arch Manning is not Peyton Manning. He is not Eli Manning. He is Archie Manning. He is more like Archie than he is the others. Eli couldn't move. Peyton Manning, he ran a 5.8 40. Archie had a little bit of jiggle in his game.
Oh, boy, did he.
Arch Manning's got some jiggle. Did you see that long touchdown run?
And
he said he doesn't run like his dad. He runs like his mom.
Yeah.
Now, it was Cooper Manning's son. Cooper Manning was the receiver. Like, he was probably the athlete of all the Archie Manning boys.
A lot of people thought he'd have been an NFL player if he'd have been able to kick, but medically he wasn't allowed to play anymore.
Yeah, so Arch Manning's not an Eli's. He's not Eli's. He's not Peyton's son. He's Cooper's son. Cooper had some jiggle. Archie had some jiggle. Arch Manning has a little jiggle.
Yeah, no, he looked really good. And unlike A&M, I think that when you look at Texas, because Ewers has been so good for them, right, that they're not going to, you know, he's going to be able to bridge the gap until they get Ewers back. But I think once Arch gets going, as much as everybody was saying, maybe he's not the player, he played at a lesser than high school, all those things, he looks like he can play pretty damn good once he gets the reins for good.
Yeah, he's going to be fun to keep an eye on. What else do you believe from this college football weekend?
There's a lot for me. When I was looking at it, the Big Ten, and you know that obviously being in Big Ten country my whole life, the Big Ten is very embarrassing. I don't think Penn State's as good. I talked about Michigan. I think at the end of the day, the only hope other than Ohio State to get another playoff spot might be USC, and that's embarrassing because you just added them to your conference, and I don't really think they should be there. That conference looks absolutely atrocious.
Yeah. You see Washington lost to Washington State? The Big 12 lost to the Pac-12. Yeah. They rated.
Yeah, it's just the Big 10 looks very embarrassing right now, aside from the very, very tippy top.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it doesn't look like a fantastic lead. Penn State's like, meh.
Their quarterback play, their offense, it's boring, it's predictable. They don't have, like, you know, breakaway skill players. Watching Penn State play is watching paint dry, and it's drippy.
It's kind of like the entire Big Ten, though.
I'm telling you, Ohio State might have their most talented team. That's saying something. They have got a boatload of talent, and then there's everybody else. USC's the only other school that might be able to
Oregon.
Get
it.
Oregon. Oregon finally started looking like Oregon. Early in the year, Oregon didn't look like they were very good either.
The other team there that I think could surprise some, Nebraska. I like Rule.
Maybe not. I agree. There's talent there, and I think it's only going to get better with Rule. I just think that Rayola and everything might need another year. They might slip up.
Yeah, they might be a year
but
away.
But he's building it.
Yeah, they're on the way up. And, I mean, Pat Mahomes plays quarterback for them, so that's nice. Mm-hmm. It's nice of them. I believe that the Aggies upgraded with Marcel Reed as their quarterback.
I'm with
you. Got some juice.
I believe,
can play a bit.
I believe whether Wegeman is injured or not, he's done. I believe that he's going to watch the rest of the year. I believe, unlike the fact that you let Haynes King get away, who was the quarterback you should have kept, who looks pretty good at Georgia Tech when he plays, I believe that Wegman's job is done for good now for the rest of the year, and they finally got a guy that might be able to play a little bit.
8341 believes that they are jumping the Longhorns up to number one way too soon. The Longhorns haven't played anybody really, including whenever they played Michigan. I don't really care about the AP poll anymore because of the college football playoff. Like, we don't have to. And I know the AP has been taken out of the college football playoff because they had the college football committee. But the fact that we don't have to worry about the AP rankings again, I believe that is great for the game. So we don't have to worry about these writers ranking these teams. Now we get a real playoff in college football. This is the most excited I've ever been for a college football season of the playoff.
I agree with you. Because it's always politics at the end of the day, and we saw what happened to Florida State last year, but we also knew that they weren't going to be the same team without their quarterback, no matter who else they lost. But now you're not going to have the teams on the outside looking in, you know, whining and complaining and saying we got screwed. Now you're legitimately going to let the best team show it by playing it out. I'm excited about it as well.
Yeah, at 7584, I believe Oklahoma is about to play the hardest schedule in the history of college football. Well, Houston's on it, so it is a very difficult schedule. He's not wrong, though. I mean, even out of conference, like, I mean, Houston's no slouch. Tulane is no slouch. They play Tennessee this week. Then they got Auburn, Texas, South Carolina, who I thought looked really good in defeat.
Yep.
Ole Miss, who's really good. Then you had that weird out of conference late in the year, Maine at Missouri, home for Alabama at LSU. That is a gauntlet.
Yeah. A lot of people were picking South Carolina for an upset last weekend.
Very easily could have won that game. Some would say they should have won that game. I watched that entire game. South Carolina looked really good. Like, people were dogging LSU. Oh, there's, you know, Kelly's not doing a good job. He's awful. Blah, blah, blah. LSU, credit to them for coming back to win that game.
I watched that.
South Carolina looked good.
Yep.
They looked did. Good.
They did. They're talented. And I think that a lot of people are sleeping on them, but I think that that's good. It's good for the conference. Good for South Carolina. I like to see it. I like to see maybe, you know, just like Ole Miss. I know Kiffin's Kiffin, but I'd like to see some other teams get a shot. I think those are two teams that could.
I think that they, I think that's a good win for LSU. People weren't reacting that way, but that was a good win for them. 8632, I believe that the D and J in DJ Ugalele stands for Daniel Jones. That was from Keith. He stole that from
good.
Twitter. I saw that on Twitter.
Good.
He's not as good as Daniel Jones.
He's not even as good as Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I think you just took it too literally there. I think it's just a joke.
I know, I get it. But I'm saying Daniel Jones at Duke was good. DJ Ugalele, no matter where he plays, doesn't look
he
good.
He was okay last year at Oregon State. He was okay.
He was okay.
Wasn't Daniel good at Clemson.
Jones is really good in college.
He's awful. Awful this year. 5798. I believe Florida State will be looking for a new head coach before Thanksgiving. He just signed that massive extension. It's like a Jimbo Fisher buyout. I don't know if Florida State has that kind of money to
it's
buy
a
him
state
out.
School. That's the problem. It's
I don't
a
think
state
they have the money.
Versus all the private money like an A&M gets to where it becomes more difficult to convince because you got to convince a board that you're going to eat that entire contract.
Yeah.
I don't think that
I
happens.
Don't think that they're going to buy him out. Now, the Florida Gators with Billy Napier. I think that he's going to be out. Apparently, they have like a board meeting today. It's stupid to fire him this soon, though. Like, wait until the back end of the year.
Track record says they fired they fired Dan
Mullen
after one bad season out of four, and they're don't put it by him to do it again.
That was, I mean, Napier probably deserves it.
Oh, he does.
That was a bad fire when they fired Dan. Dan could coach. 4488, I believe Indiana is not just a basketball school. That last part could be arguable lately. But, yeah, they have a good squad this year. Maybe that's a team we're sleeping on in the Big Ten a little bit. 0892, I believe Georgia versus Texas will be who determines the number one seed in the NCAA tournament. That's fair.
Probably right.
I think that's fair.
I mean, who Ohio State?
Ohio State will be in the mix.
What do you think of Tennessee?
I haven't seen them much. I'm really excited to watch them in Oklahoma this weekend.
Yes, they have a boatload of talent, but they haven't played anybody for me to believe that they're actually going to do this all year.
I'm very excited to watch them versus Oklahoma. Ole Miss, I want to see more of them. Like, are they in that top tier? Is Miami in that top tier? Missouri struggled a bit with Boston College at home.
They did.
Like, O'Brien can coach, man.
I was going to say, Bill O'Brien's doing a hell of a job. As much as Texans fans feel a certain kind of way, Bill O'Brien's doing a hell of a job.
He can coach.
He might be a really good college coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was the national coach of the year at Penn State. Now, a lot of that was because of the whole Paterno, right, Sandusky type of thing. And then Alabama. Alabama could be in that top tier by the end of the day. Like, they don't look like, oh, the offense is sizzling, but it's still Alabama. DeBoer can coach. Jalen Milroe is an incredible athlete. I wouldn't rule out Alabama for being in the top tier of college football teams this year.
No, they still have a lot of talent. I would have liked to have seen, they knocked Van Dyke out early. Wisconsin was jacked up and were winning early. I know that Alabama fans were texting me. I was actually coaching softball, wasn't watching it, and I was getting texts. Now, this screws it all up for us, because if we dominated you with your quarterback, we would have gotten credit. Now we're going to lose credit because of the fact that you guys were lesser than. I'm like, you should be blowing us out already, and you aren't. But I don't think they're all the way to the top tier, but they're a good football
team. And Miami could be that top tier. I mean, Cam Ward's a dude.
He is really good.
So I have my eyes on them, too, as a team that could potentially be a national champion. All right, give me your best I believe that you got left. I got one if you don't.
I'm out.
I believe the Big 12 is underrated. I've said it a million times. U of H destroys their rival in a trophy game. Colorado rolled their rival by 19. Utah beat their rival by 17. You want to win a rivalry game? Be in the Big 12. Arizona State with a tough road win in San Marcos. Oklahoma State undefeated. Texas Tech had 52 points at the half. Baylor held a team to 3 points. Four top 25 teams, 8 teams in the top 42. The Big 12 is underrated.
Okay.
Underrated Big 12.
Talk to me at the end of the year.
713-780-ESPN. What is your question for the Killer Bees? Mailbag Monday. What do you want to ask the Bees? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from my good friend Doc Linville. Look, Doc Linville's the best in the business. You heard me and Granato and others talk about just how good he is. You have a chance and an opportunity whenever you feel like it to find out about just how good he is and see the results and see examples and examples with pictures of people that have gone through the NeoGraft and PRP treatments that either save the hair that you have and or get you your hair back. He's just phenomenal. He's here locally in the Med Center, so you don't have to be flying around the country or hoping people ship you products that might be able to do something other than just mask your problem. Doc Linville's the best. He loves working with Houstonians. He loves working with us. He tells us all the time, look, I'm not charging what everybody else is charging. Because he goes, I'm not trying to make a boatload of money off of this. I'm trying to help people in Houston because it really works. It's not gimmicky. It's the truth. And that's what I try and tell people when I explain to them why I wasn't in the market to try and find someone that could solve my hair loss problems. I thought it was just part of nature and it was gone for good. When Doc said, let me just talk to you once. Let me explain to you how this stuff works. I listened, I learned, and I was in. I just decided this is something I'm willing to try. I talked it over with my family because of the fact that it's not gimmicky. It's legit. It's your own hair. It's taken from the sides and the back of your head where you're never going to lose it genetically, which I didn't know until I met with Doc. And then finding out that you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, it makes more sense when he says, I take some of it and put it where you need it most. You can get that free consultation like I had because you listened to us. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and just take the time to learn. That's what I did. I learned. And in the process of learning, I understood PRP is like fertilizing your grass. It gets the blades that are there, or in this case, the hair follicles, to be thicker and stronger to have a better appearance. because they're still in your scalp. When you don't have any more hair there and you want more hair, it's like re-sodding your lawn. You take the hair from the sides and the back, you put it where you need it most, and all of a sudden you've got better coverage area, more hair, the same color, goes in the right direction. You love it. That's what happened to me. It could happen to you too. Start the process today. Get a free consultation like I did with Doc and his staff by going to 975hair.com. No money out of pocket, no signing on the dotted line, no commitments to be made, just a question and answer session and a little bit of a learning session of them explaining what they can do. It might be right for you like it was for me too. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What is your question for the Bees? 713-780-3776. Texter says South Carolina might have the best front seven in the conference. I do not disagree. They are nasty. If Sellers didn't get hurt in that game, they probably would have won. So LSU might have got lucky. But hey, they went into Columbia and beat what I think is a very underrated South Carolina team. I think it was a good win for LSU. All right, what is your question for the Bees? 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena, you're in the hive of the Bees. What's your question?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So this week, what grinds y'all's gears? Like, for me, I can't stand when people can't use a freaking blinker when they're driving. What's so hard about it? Your hand's already there. Just put the freaking blinker on. That pisses me off. Y'all have a great day.
All right.
What do you got, Brandon? Because that's something that you do.
I don't use my blinker?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because I know. We talked about these guys. I know what kind of driver you are.
I use my blinker whenever my blinker is going to be needed to be viewed. Like, if I'm changing lanes with nobody around me, what's the point? What's
you
the
gave
point?
Me the guiltiest, how do you know that? But look, by the what way, you, when
what
I said that.
What's the point? Like, yeah. I and then if you're cutting somebody off, like, you're going to have to be a little aggressive, and you don't want to show the blinker because they're going to speed up. Like, there's a strategy involved here. But if I think that the blinker is unnecessary, which I'm always the best judge of that, I won't use a blinker. But if I'm in traffic, yeah, I'm going to use a blinker.
Yeah, especially like when it's like wall-to-wall getting out of here at night when you're getting on the freeway. I think it's not just even a courtesy. It probably saves you from getting in accidents, too, because things happen so much faster.
When a blinker is necessary, I will use my blinker. If it is unnecessary, I'm not going to waste energy and time. Like, if you know, doing what I do, you need all the energy you can get.
Did I
misblinker you at some point?
No.
No, I might have.
No. My one of my pet peeves is always, like, if you hold the door for someone and they don't even give you the nod or the courtesy of saying thank you. Mm-hmm. Or, like you're talking about, if you let someone in because they're really facing, like, say, when we're getting on the entrance ramp to the highway.
Yeah.
And they're in the middle lane. And you see that they're trying to get over and cars aren't letting them in. And you take the time to stop and let them in. And they don't give you the courtesy wave. It's like, screw you, dude. I could have cut you off and pushed you to the next stoplight.
There's a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about the elevator thing.
All right.
Yeah, that's why Curb's so good. 713-780-3776. What's your question for the Bees? Eric the driver. What grinds my gears, though, is when people are in the right lane and don't turn right. At the stop sign. And there are times when people... they're in the right lane, and there's nobody in the lane next to them. And it's like, you're not even trying to get further up. You're just trying to, like, you're just unaware. I hope you're unaware, because if you're aware, then you're just a jerk.
Yeah, the light in my neighborhood, there is three lanes, and you can to go straight, you should be in the middle lane. And if you're in the right-hand lane, not turning right, and I've got to wait for that entire light, and I'm turning right, I get so ticked off about that. That's just flat-out common courtesy.
That one grinds my gears, and then 18-wheelers in the left lane. Grinds my gears.
That's
what grinds your gears?
There's plenty. I mean, I just think there's a lot of rudeness in the world. I mean, I also, you know, from a traffic perspective, we go through this. I don't like people that roll through stop signs. I don't like the fact that just because they're in a hurry or their schedule got a little bit off, that especially in neighborhoods, you're going to blast through a stop sign because you're in a hurry and put somebody else's life in danger. I hate that.
So if there's no cars around and you pull up to a stop, are you going complete stop?
Yeah.
If there's nobody around, I'll go a little California stop from time to time.
See, if you're in my neighborhood or a neighborhood where you don't, because it may look clear as the bell and you don't know there's a kid on a bike or there's someone with an animal walking dogs or something like that. That's, and you don't want to have to deal with it after the fact. There's got to be a little common decency.
I mean, you can have, if you have a little awareness, like have a little bit of stop sign IQ. If you realize that there's nobody around I mean, you can come to a little bit of a rolling stop. No harm done there. All's well that ends well. Eric the Driver, if Young never starts for the Panthers again or at all, is he a bigger bust than Jamarcus Russell or Ryan Leaf?
I still think that there's enough there where he will have a career in the league.
Not the question.
No,
if Young never starts for the Panthers again.
That's what I'm saying. So Jamarcus Russell was never a backup. He was terrible. Ryan Leaf was basically never a backup. He was terrible. I think that he will have a career long enough in the league that he won't be as big a bust as those two guys.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he's a bigger bust because he's 5'8". 713-780-3776. Question for the Bees. Over under 7.5 penalties for the Texans in week 3.
Over.
I'll go take the under. I think D'Amico gets that straightened out. D'Amico's too good of a coach to let that linger.
I could see him still have about 8.
You want to go drink bet on this?
We still haven't done the punt one, right?
It hadn't happened.
Yeah, because it was still Sims.
Yeah, you want to roll that one over?
Yeah, we'll roll it.
Do you want to do over under 7.5 penalties?
Sure.
7.5 penalties. This is just a drink one, right?
Yep.
All right, 7.5 penalties. Week 3. All right, how many Big 12 teams make the 12-team playoff? I can think of 2, Utah and Oklahoma State. Well, Houston's going to run the table and win the Big 12, so they're going to be the Big 12 representative. And then Utah, Oklahoma State, they'll get at-larges. Let's go Kansas State.
Kansas State looked pretty. Who'd they just beat that I watched? They beat Arizona?
Yeah, in a non-conference game.
Yeah.
That was 2 Big 12 teams in a non-conference game because there was a pre-existing contract for them to play. So that was two Big 12 teams playing in a non-conference game. Weird.
And Arizona was ranked.
Arizona was pretty good.
Yeah, so they were pretty good. So Kansas State's got some talent.
Avery Johnson, people don't talk about Howard because, like, he's transferring. They got a big-time recruit. Kansas State was ready to turn to Avery Johnson. Yeah. Avery Johnson was going to beat out Will Howard for that job. Like, they were already splitting snaps last year when Avery Johnson was a freshman.
And he's such a floor general, and the way that he fed Robinson and Duncan was fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm going to go, I'll say 5 or 6 Big 12 teams make the 12-team college football playoff.
Okay.
Keith from L.A., what's your favorite vacation spot and why?
I love Hawaii.
Hawaii's nice.
Yeah, some of my really good friends live there, too, so you don't have to do all of it, like, over on the commercial side. You can just enjoy the fact that the water is beautiful, the temperature is perfect, there's golf. I think Hawaii is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm anywhere on a beach, like tropical, Hawaii's fine. Like, I'm not very picky. Like, give me somewhere with nice weather, some sunlight, some good drinks, some good food. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not picky. 6860, you can pick one team from any sport, profession, or college to start a dynasty run next year. Who are you picking and why?
It's kind of really wide open. Like, you're taking the roster that they have and they're going to go on a dynasty run?
I guess so.
I'm going to take the Houston Texans.
Okay.
I love what they have. I love the fact that they've never had it before in this city from a football perspective to actually win a Super Bowl and go on a run. That's what a dynasty is. I think that the Houston Texans and their players are extremely likable now. I think that I'd love to see the Texans do it.
I'm going to pick somebody who can use a little bit of a boost because, like, you know, the Astros are already winning, so, like, they don't need my help. Texans are getting there. They don't need my help. I'll go with U of H football. Why didn't you pick U of H basketball? Because they're already there.
Yeah.
They can win a national championship without my help.
I like Willie Fritz. I like his story. He's won wherever he's gone. I would love to see that happen.
That's my answer. Ocho, could the Texans have drafted Lassiter later in the draft if they selected Adonai Mitchell at 42?
Jeez, he's never going to let that go.
I don't think Lassiter would have lasted much longer.
No.
Like the Giants' hard knocks, they wanted him.
Once you mentioned that, that meant that other teams were on the scent. They were ready to go get him. So I think they got him at the exact right time so that they weren't looking to see and play in risk.
Yeah, I don't think he would have been on the board much longer. Tyler and Conroe, how concerned are y'all about Tank Dell and the case of the dropsies he's developed?
I mean, guys,
scale of 1 to 10.
2.
I'll go 3.
Okay.
I'll go 3. It needs to happen for a couple more games.
Everybody has an off week, and they're all still adjusting now that you got so much talent in the room, which you didn't have a year ago. I just think it's going to get better. It's not going to get worse.
Eric said, Branham, did you see that right lane debate on our neighborhood Facebook page? That's creepy, Eric. That's very Ohio of you.
Wow.
I didn't see that, actually. I didn't see that. I'm not very Facebooky very much. 8576, which rookie quarterback throws a touchdown first? Have no rookie quarterbacks thrown a touchdown?
I'm not aware of that.
I'll take you for your word, Texter. So which rookie quarterback throws a touchdown first?
I think Caleb.
Yeah.
Caleb, he's getting it. He went up against a really good defense this week. I was worried about him in week 1. But now the fact that he's kind of gotten a taste of getting knocked around and what a really good defense looks like, and he's also learned some things about how to pick up some things pre-snap, yeah. I think Caleb.
Yeah, I'll go Caleb, too. That's crazy that no rookie quarterbacks. I mean, I guess it's kind of a crapshoot, though. Like, Bo Nix certainly be in the mix.
I heard he looked bad, though.
He didn't look good. Yeah. That game was heavily on Red Zone Channel because there's only three games in the 3 o'clock window. So I saw a lot of Bo yesterday. I
was watching Astros and Chiefs Bengals.
Yeah, I was watching Astros on this screen and then Red Zone on that screen. So I saw a lot of distracted Bo Nix, I guess you could say. Let's hand out game balls from the NFL. Who deserves a game ball from around the league? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who are you handing out game balls to after week two? Not all the way after week two. Still a game tonight. 713-780-ESPN. Who are your game balls going to? 9243, game ball to Aziz Alshire. That dude gives our defense a nasty edge. Like, I love it. You know how much I like physical football. I'm a fan of physical football. I want my team to not be the softest team on the field. I want my team delivering the punches on the opposing sideline, not the one taking a punch and then looking around going, where's the flag? I like good physical football. Toughest team wins. I liked what Aziz Alshire did.
You know me. I said that was the most underrated addition to this roster in the offseason. I love the fact that there was a lot of synergy before he even got here, but I thought he was a huge upgrade from what they had. And the fact that you went from Perryman to a guy like that and that he is all over the football field, I love the way he plays the game. He's got to be smarter, by the way, on the sideline.
He didn't get a flag.
Okay.
Didn't get penalized.
Right, but if he did, it could have really screwed you.
But it didn't. He threw a punch, didn't get penalized for it, got away with it.
And the next time, if it does.
He sent a message. And all it's going to cost, hopefully, because I think there is a chance he gets suspended a game, but hopefully all it cost him is money from his own pocket. We all want these owners to spend money. Aziz Alshire spending money for the betterment of the Houston Texans.
And now you've got me worried myself. I thought he'd get fined this week. I did not think he'd get suspended. I hope to God he doesn't.
Yeah, I hope. Hopefully I'm wrong on that. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just in play. All right, who are you giving your first game ball?
The first one to me is easy. It's Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara, when you watched him play this weekend, it was double joy. If you're a Saints fan like Big Clarence, then you're extremely happy anyway. But I had notions and visions of that game that Kamara rattled off, like, what, six touchdowns in a game? He had four, I think, in the first half. He was doing it on the ground, in the air. He looked like the old Alvin Kamara. I mean, that was impressive to watch. The Saints look like a totally different team offensively. They've resurrected that clunker of a car that they had driving around and their offense looks fantastic. Alvin Kamara had a monster game, and he deserves a game ball.
Yeah, that was he's kind of turning back the clock there a bit. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of shares of Kamara, so I'm really happy to see this. You mentioned the numbers: 180 total yards, four touchdowns. The Saints throttled the Cowboys. I thought their defense was going to be good, and I thought their defense was going to keep them competitive in a bad division. Two things. I might have underrated that division. And then secondly, maybe we slept on that offense. Yeah. Because not only was Kamara really good, but Shaheed has been an unbelievable deep ball threat. Foster Moreau's relevant in the NFL. Derek Carr, again, is relevant in the NFL. You know who their OC is?
Yeah.
Clint Kubiak. Clint Kubiak.
They're using what's his name from BYU all over the football field.
Yeah, he got hurt yesterday. Barely got hot, like left the stadium in an ambulance.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When I was watching him play, I mean, he was doing everything. He was quarterbacking, he was running, mm-hmm. he was blocking, he was
full
catching.
Fullback a little bit here
and
there.
Yeah, he looked really good. On the flip side of it, if you're a Cowboy fan, for as much as you were celebrating after week one against the Browns, that was embarrassing. Micah Parsons was pissed. Zimmer couldn't figure it out, and I consider Zimmer a really good defensive-minded guy. The fact that they couldn't figure out how to hold an edge, they were outnumbered. How many defensive coordinators are outnumbered at the line of scrimmage? The Saints constantly loaded up the box. The Cowboys didn't have an answer, and they just ran all over.
Yeah, the Saints might be good. They might be good.
Because their defense ain't bad.
No, I thought that it was going to be their strong suit was their defense. And it still might be, but their offense has been good. Kyler Murray, game ball for me, 266 yards, three touchdowns, ran for 59 yards on top of that. And then Marvin Harrison Jr. The demise of Marvin Harrison Jr. might have been greatly exaggerated. Four catches, 130 yards, two touchdowns. I think he had two touchdowns in the first two possessions. Like, yeah, that guy looked like he was the number one receiver in the NFL draft this last
year. Kyler Murray was on my list. Kyler Murray's escapability is on a different level.
Best athlete in the world.
I don't know what an athlete is, but he might like butts and a smile. But I'm telling you right now, that dude's ability to change directions on the dead run and spin and folk. And then, you know, we talk about what CJ's able to do. CJ doesn't have it with that kind of athleticism. Some of those replays and some of the plays he made yesterday are just special.
Yeah, he's how many guys have been drafted number in the first round in two different professional leagues? Not that many. Yep. Kyler Murray's athleticism is very underrated. All right, what other game balls you got?
Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson was phenomenal. That backed up against their own end zone and just his ability to create space, and no matter if there's a double team on him or not, and do something with it after the catch. And a little special kudos game ball goes to the referee. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
The fact that he talk about change of directions and sprint and still being cognizant of having to call a play if it was there, that was impressive. But Justin Jefferson's numbers were just crazy yesterday.
Yeah, he had the quad injury. I'm hoping that he misses a week. I want nothing to do with Justin Jefferson. Too.
If I'm the Texans, I'd love to catch the Vikings without him.
Yeah, he's best receiver in the NFL?
I think he is.
It's tough because you have him, you have Chase, you have CD. Do you want to put Tyreek in the mix? Like, it's tough, but he's something. He's special. Yeah. Sam Darnold, I'll give him a game ball from that game, too. His revenge game going up against his former team, two touchdowns. You notice that Blake Cashman had 13 tackles, a sack, and three pass breakups in that game?
I did not. But Blake Cashman was good here. I liked when he played here. But good on Blake Cashman for being able to do those kind of things. I called the Sam Darnold revenge game the week before because he was just going back to New York. Mm-hmm. Now he's had the revenge tour in the first 2 weeks. I hope nothing happened in Houston to piss him off because he's gotten the win in both of his revenge games.
He's played well. Like, he's played pretty well. I think O'Connell can coach.
I think there's another one that in the same kind of Sam Darnold mode. Baker Mayfield deserves one. Okay. Baker Mayfield went into Detroit and beat the Lions. Baker Mayfield, who held his own when they went in there for a playoff game last year, not only held his own with his team, won another game.
Yeah, he's. I gave Godwin the game ball there, but could have easily went to Baker. Godwin had 7 for 117 in a tutty. That's why I think that division, we might have underrated it.
We might have.
Like, we're calling it the worst division in the NFL. Okay, well, Tampa just went to Detroit and won.
Yes.
The Saints just throttled Dallas, who we think is a playoff team. Yeah, Carolina's terrible, and I do think Atlanta's dysfunctional.
One.
But, I mean, the Saints and the Saints and the Tampa Bay look pretty legit.
Yeah, the two teams that rose to the top of that division early on so far are not the two teams I thought. I thought Tampa would be in the mix. The team that was everybody's sexy pick, Atlanta, looks very bad, and I'm anxious to see what they look like tonight. Now that I can see them, thank you, DirecTV, you pains in the ass. But overall, Atlanta might be a huge disappointment.
It's back.
It's over. I'm saying thank you, finally. I finally get to watch it.
I misunderstood. Yeah, yeah, it's nice. It happened right, like, during college game day.
Lisa told me. I wasn't aware of it, and I was coaching softball when I got home. She goes, hey, ESPN and ABC's back. I go, when did that happen?
Yeah.
She goes, about an hour or two ago. I go, wow, okay.
Yeah, it happened right at the beginning of college game day. Because I was having to watch what's the one on Fox? The Big Tailgater.
Big Saturday.
Yeah, I don't like that one. I like Game Day more. And I was having to watch that, and then like 15 minutes into Game Day, it happened. And I was like, that's
Urban.
Great. Saved me. I like Game Day more. Geno Smith game ball for me, 33 for 44, 327 yards and a score. And then his receivers, too. They can get a share of this game ball. Metcalf, 10 catches, 129 yards and a score. And then Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, 12 for 117. That offense is underrated.
They are, and they're talented. And those receivers, as much as we talk about the, you know, receiving tandems and things, and we were kind of fringy with Seattle. Seattle's got some talent, and those two guys are really good. I got another one, and this is one that I didn't see coming. I got one from Matt LaFleur and the Packers. The fact that you went in with a quarterback that can't throw, that never threw for 100 yards in his career, went back to the old days of option football. They must have saw something in Joe Mixon and the way that the Texans ran on the Colts.
Yeah.
The fact that they punished the Colts in the first half, I think they were over 100 yards rushing, and Malik Willis was running options and quarterback draws. I mean, that's embarrassing if you're a Colts. Hey, Colts fan, where are you now? Because that's embarrassing, the fact that you lost the game to that quarterback in that situation in Green Bay.
Yeah, a little worried about that Colt run defense. Yeah. Maybe it kind of inflated our confidence in the Texans' offensive line and their running game. I'll run through the final ones I have. Braylon Allen, 2 touchdowns. Youngest player in modern history to score a touchdown. He's 20 years and 240 days years old. What's that? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Davante Adams, 9 catches, 110 for a touchdown. Quentin Johnston. Remember when everybody thought he was dead as a football player?
Yes.
2 touchdowns in yesterday's game. He's been revived. And then final one for me.
Hand drills or something? Those, you know, Nike's got that.
You know, I was drafting a lot of Quentin Johnston late in my best ball drafts just off of talent. Like, hey, what if
he's the only guy that was really there?
He was going undrafted in some of these leagues.
Really?
And it's like, hey, like this guy might, like, because there's not a lot of people there, because there's going to be better coaching, maybe he's going to be okay. And like, he was a second round draft pick. Like, a lot of times it takes more than a year.
It's his hands. I kid, but you know, they have this. I forget it where the lab is, but it's through Nike guys that in football and baseball.
I think it's in parts unknown.
Well, it might be, but at the same time, it's between, like, they do things with lights and your vision and things, and it improves your hand-eye coordination. I hope he got some of that.
What was the thing that you used to do in the day where you, like, you
it's
hit
It's like that. The whack-a-mole
You can just do Fruit Ninja.
What'd they call the one with the lights?
Whack-a-mole was the one I was thinking.
Yeah, but there's also the one that
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what it's called.
Was it Merlin with the lights and you had to keep hitting them?
I know what you're talking about. I couldn't tell you. But I have no idea.
You wear these glasses that, like, monitor your eyes.
Huh.
And you do that, and guys swear from their hand-eye coordination for baseball and catching footballs, it makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe it. He caught 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And then Rashee Rice, 575, 1 touchdown, then he fled the scene with a win. A few of the Texter's game balls, Jalen Petrie, Texter Bowes says Kyami Fairbairn, and then game ball refs making sure Chiefs got a chance to win the game with a PI call. I thought that was legit PI.
I thought it was a fantastic call.
Yeah, it was legit PI.
It was perfect, and it's a ballsy call that I think most officials don't want to make. But when you go back and look at it, it was, and people said it was late too.
Yeah.
He was from a good distance away. He started throwing it the minute that he saw it. I give him credit for making that call.
I do wish he would have called it sooner, because it shows a little bit more conviction on the call. It's like, I'll wait to see if it's caught, and then throwing it, like, hey, if you see it, call it. But I thought it was the right call. Like, the defender got there way too early.
Yeah, I thought too early. I'm not sure that I would have thrown the penalty on Chase, because there was a lot of talking going on, and I get why. But I just think in that situation, you don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, let's get to our good, bad, and ugly from the Astros weekend. The sweep in Anaheim. What was the good? What was the bad? What was the ugly? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.